How would you go if one day all the things that you're used to being able to do, everyday things like remembering appointments and cooking dinner, meeting people, all suddenly become much, much harder? David Schenkel is a guitarist, and he was also working as a high school music teacher when he had a tumour removed from his brain. Now, this was in June 2014. Since then, he's been adjusting to the impact that the surgery has had, not just on his brain, but also on his life. Music has been a major part of his road to recovery. He's just released an album of guitar music called Artie. David Schenkel joins us along with his clinical neuropsychologist, Dr. Jane Koo. Now, David, first of all, describe what life was like for you in those first weeks after the surgery.
Well, after the surgery, I woke up, everything was very blurry. When I finally came to, it was very difficult. I had to kind of relearn how to do everything again. I had to kind of relearn how to firstly walk and all those basic things, and even eating was difficult. You know, it wasn't like I completely forgot everything. I had to do everything. It was just everything was a little bit kind of harder in that sort of respect, in regard. You know, it was sort of, and I had to think quite hard about everything I was doing.
All those, as I mentioned, completely everyday functions.
That's right. So the hard part was, okay, if I successfully achieved something, like I ate my meal really well or something like that, but then I would be really tired afterwards because it'd take a lot of mental energy and mental effort.
Just to eat your meal.
Yeah, to eat the meal, that's right.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Jane Koo, you first met David when he was transferred to the Acquired Brain Injury Rehabilitation Centre at the Caulfield Hospital in Victoria in 2014. How did the surgery impact his brain function?
I think, as David described, I think when I first met him, fatigue was a huge issue. Everything was so much more effortful, and his ability to pay attention and concentrate was really short and really brief. And I remember in those really early days, the memory loss was a really obvious.
Short or long-term?
Short-term. Mm-hmm. Short-term memory problems was really quite obvious. So I'm in a conversation with David, you know, I might introduce myself, and within about 2 minutes he'll go, "Oh, who are you again?" Mm-hmm. And that was in those very, very early days. And, you know, but he was always very pleasant and very cheerful. There's always a smile there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, David, once you got to go home after months in rehab, perhaps that was just the start of things, in a way. How has life changed for you and your family over the last few years?
Well, it's been interesting because, I used to do my own thing. So I used to get up and go to work every day as a high school teacher. And when I wasn't working because of the surgery and the brain injury and surgery, I was at home a lot, and I needed not full-time monitoring, but I needed people around me all the time to assist me with my memory a lot sometimes. And I need people to – I don't drive anymore, so I need people to drive me places. I need people to remind me of things all the time. I need people to remind me to use my – I use a lot of memory aids now. That could be another conversation, but
I imagine things on your phone.
Yeah, iPad, I'm really vigilant now with my iPhone calendar, and people around me still sometimes need to prompt me to remind me to use it. Mm. But less and less and less, I'm getting much better with using all my memory aids and stuff like that.
I guess I also mentioned that coming out of hospital, coming out of rehab, was perhaps just the start of things, because in a way, I mean, you survived. Having a brain tumour, you survived the surgery. And that is like, you know, in some ways, if it was a movie, that'd be the end of the movie, wouldn't it?
That's right. That's right, be the end of the movie.
But actually, it's the start of your new movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Well, Jane, you were one of the team, you are one of the team of specialists who've been helping David and his family over this time. Mm. What have been the main strategies you've used to help him adjust back to, you know, being able to live with independence?
So in terms of his cognitive rehabilitation, we have quite a large team of therapists. So myself as a neuropsychologist, there's also occupational therapists, speech therapists, physiotherapist, and the list goes on. So we have to devise memory strategies, as David has mentioned. So it's about finding systems that work for him. So in the initial stages, it might be taking photographs to help him log his day. And then later on, it's about teaching him to use a diary. And now it's finding a system to use his calendar on his phone for appointments and to-do lists, because the phone can prompt him with alarms, etc. So that then transfers onto other things to enable him to be very independent in his living. For example, being able to remember and reliably remember to take his medication, you know, his shopping lists, and using it also as a way to take down details of conversations, which sometimes he misses. So it's quite complex, and that's just the memory component. There's also a big part of it for David has also been about working through his emotional adjustment for him and also with his family.
Well, David, you have just recently released an album of your guitar music, which you produced with the help of one of your friends from music school. What prompted and motivated you to do that, to record an album of your music?
I wrote a couple of songs back in 2004, and I had a really fantastic guitar teacher at university. For those of you who play guitar, he was into changing the tone of the strings, and it's called altered tuning. So you basically get all these beautiful sounds on the guitar. And I really got into it. And yeah, it just happened at one point. I had about 6 or 7 songs that I went, you know what, I could maybe release an album. And then eventually I had enough songs. And it was actually my friend Hugh who recorded me, he called me up and said, Dave, when are you coming over to record? I needed a bit of a kick, you know, a bit of a kick. And so finally, it was really lovely. My friend Hugh, who's a producer, actually recorded me for free, just out of his own niceness. And it was lovely, yeah.
You recorded this music after your surgery. So yeah. Was your playing affected at all? Was your musical sense affected at all?
Absolutely not at all. If anything, I think I played better. I'm not sure why, but I just, maybe because of everything I'd been through, it was just more feeling in me. And it's funny you bring that up, because actually one of the songs, number 3, is called "The Future Is Bright." And you know, when I came out of surgery and my memory wasn't very good, I got told by people, by the doctors that, you know, my memory's probably going to be not very good for a very, 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 very long time.
And so your future wasn't feeling very bright.
Basically. And I thought, firstly, I thought I wasn't going to play guitar anymore, because I told myself, well, to play guitar, you need constant memory. And then I also thought, okay, I'll never be able to write a song ever again. How will I ever write a piece of music if I have no memory? And so when I came out of surgery and I got better, one day I picked up my guitar and I wrote that song, "The Future Is Bright," and I remembered it. Didn't record it or anything. I just played it, and a few days later I came back to it. And
you could play it again.
Yeah, play it again. So that song, "The Future Is Bright," was really, 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 really exciting for me.
Because, well, it sort of made the future bright for you.
That's right. Yeah. It did. It certainly did.
In Life Matters, I'm with musician David Schenkel, who continues to recover from an acquired brain injury, the result of a brain tumour. And also with us is David's neuropsychologist, Dr. Jane Koo. Jane, people with acquired brain injuries like David are trying, I guess, not just to recover from the injury, but also, as we've talked about, you know, adjust to a new way of life. What kind of impact can this have on psychological well-being?
I think it's a very overwhelming experience. And a big part of rehabilitation is helping the person with the brain injury and their family and close friends understand the impact on their emotions, the changes to their behaviour and their everyday functioning and life as a whole, not just for that person, but how it impacts the family as well. Because the family has gone through that process with them of the hospitalisation and that rehab journey. And family members have a huge role to play in supporting the person with brain injury in having a positive outcome. So it's really important for the rehab team to work closely with the family so that we bring out the best in the person with the brain injury.
How do you think music has helped David in his recovery?
I think music is a big passion of David's, is a big part of his identity. And I think for him, because it is such a well-learned skill that wasn't affected by the brain injury, it became a constant in his life that and throughout his recovery journey, then and a source of familiarity and positivity for him. And when, you know, everything around him was changing. So I think to be able to hone in on that strength and use that strength to help him process and have something that he could come back to and know that he can do and give him that sense of confidence, it makes a big difference.
Well, David, how does music, do you reckon, help you as far as your psychological, emotional well-being goes?
When I play guitar, what I've realised is I'm actually doing very similar things to what people are doing when they do mindfulness meditation. I'm focused on the one thing. I'm not thinking about anything else besides the guitar. You know, if something comes into my mind, it just kind of disappears, and then I play a song and I feel really nice at the end. And when I did mindfulness meditation, I did a little course once. I'm doing this stuff already when I play music. And that's why it's so fantastic. Like when you can just disappear into a song you're playing, and come out of it at the end going, I didn't think of anything besides it was just the music. And that's what I love about it.
So how far do you reckon you've come cognitively and emotionally since those early days in rehab 3 or 4 years ago?
It is hard to kind of remember exactly what I was going through back then, but I've come a long way. Firstly, one of my biggest issues actually, or biggest problems, is my memory. Did I say that earlier?
I did not.
But that's improving every day. And I'm just, sometimes I say something and I go, oh my God, I can't believe I just said that. So that's happening more and more.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
More and more. It's happening every day. And that's what's really exciting.
Well, look, we talked earlier about one of the tracks on your album, The Future is Bright, the one that you wrote after you'd had the surgery when your future wasn't very bright. We're playing a little bit of that song now. It's from David's album called Artie, and that's A-R-T-I. David Schenkel is the musician, and Dr. Jane Koo is his clinical neuropsychologist. Thanks so much to you both. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Guitar playing there from David Schenkel.